It's 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. More barricades are going up now around the federal courthouse in D.C., where former President Trump will face his second federal arraignment over efforts to overturn the 2020 election. CBS's Scott McFarlane is there and tells us what happens when Trump arrives.
There's a special elevator that gives access between the garage underground, from where the former president will enter, to a first floor area where the U.S. Marshals are. He's going to be fingerprinted and processed there. No booking photo. The marshals have told us they don't need a photo of Donald Trump. They have a pretty good sense of where to find pictures of Donald Trump if they need them. And the processing itself should be almost as quick as the proceedings itself. We expect everything, soup to nuts, to be done here in less than an hour.
Like his other indictments, Trump is also expected to plead not guilty. The Pittsburgh synagogue shooter was sentenced to death today for killing 11 people in 2018. U.S. Attorney Eric Olshan sent this warning.
When people who espouse white supremacists, anti-Semitic and bigoted views pick up weapons, our office and our partners in law enforcement will hold them accountable to the fullest extent of the law.
Two U.S. Navy sailors have been arrested now in California for allegedly giving secret information to China. Assistant Attorney General for National Security Matthew Olson.
These individuals stand accused of violating rules that protect the United States and ensure that those who are entrusted with our national security do not abuse their positions for any reason, including for personal profit.
The info included details on U.S. military drills. A much brighter day today of festivities for Pope Francis in Portugal for World Youth Day. CBS's Chris Livesay is in Lisbon.
World Youth Day has been dubbed the Catholic Woodstock. Pope Francis is their rock star.
I absolutely love Pope Francis.
Millions are celebrating around the world. And people are going bonkers now for burrata.
You can find it all over TikTok.
Burrata is a cheese with a firm outer pouch and a buttery interior filled with soft curd and cream.
A column about the cheese published on the Grub Street website a few days ago that's gone viral is titled "A Big Fat Blob of Boring." The writer called it an overpriced, thick blob of cold dairy and criticized restaurants for trying to make it a meal on its own.
That's our resident cheese ball, Christopher Cruz. NFL legend Tom Brady is now getting into a different kind of football.
Maybe you're asking, what do you know about English football, Tom? Well, let's just say I got a lot to learn.
The seven-time Super Bowl champ is now a minority owner of Birmingham City, an English soccer club. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
If you're in the market for a car that's as powerful as it is beautiful, check out the all-new, all-electric 2023 Nissan Ariya. Nissan's most powerful EV ever, available in 389 horsepower with an elegant, spacious interior and innovative tech. The EV is stunningly powerful, offering the best of both worlds, a smooth, quiet ride with thrilling sensations. Head to Nissan.com for more information. 2023 Ariya has limited availability. Contact your local dealer for inventory information.
At Grainger, we're for the ones who pay attention to every little detail, the ones who fuss, tinker, and sweat the small stuff. Because you know the tiniest thing can make the biggest difference when it comes to keeping business moving. We get it. We're the same way, offering access to product experts to help you quickly and easily find what you need. So whatever your industry, you know you're always getting professional-grade products. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in central Wisconsin. A 32-year-old Wausau woman is facing criminal charges after she fled the scene of a crash that left one man injured. Felony hit-and-run charges were filed against Larissa Henneman after Flock camera data led police to her. Investigators used the information to find the white sedan that witnesses saw flee the scene after striking a pedestrian with enough force that the victim was flung onto the hood. The crash was reported on May 29th at the intersection of East Kent Street and Grand Avenue. Witnesses say the man was struck while crossing the street. His injuries were not serious. When confronted, Henneman allegedly told police she was stopped at a red light and began moving forward when the man walked in front of her vehicle, tripped, and fell. Then Henneman said she panicked and left because she didn't know what to do. Henneman, who is not in custody, is due in court September 18th for the initial appearance in the case. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Slight chance for scattered storms tonight, otherwise partly cloudy skies. Lows level off around 62. Northerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies again tomorrow. Highs level off around 86. Cloudy skies tomorrow night. Lows level off around 60. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 90.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this August 3rd, 2023. Have your host, James J. Mailoff here. At 3:30, we're going to welcome in Janelle Weir, horticultural educator with UW-Madison Extension, Wood County. Right now in studio with us, Danita Carlson. She is with the Alex C. Dove Foundation. We're going to talk about the memorial concert coming up and a little bit about the foundation. Danita, how have you been?
Good. Thank you.
Thanks for being here. We always appreciate the time and love having you in studio and being able to talk not only with you, but certainly focusing on this foundation, which is, as we were just touching on, one of the more unique and beautiful foundations I have come across in this job and really in my life. I've lived in a lot of places in this country, and I'm a big believer in nonprofits and joining these kind of things. And since the family joined us 4 or 5 years ago, I think it was, to first start talking about this, to see where we are now with this foundation, it's just, I don't have the words. It's so cool. It's so beautiful to see. And we have them, people like yourself, and certainly this great community to thank for this. But with all that being said, I think that there are people out there still that may not be familiar with the foundation. Do you mind if we spend a couple of minutes just talking about what the Alex C. Dove Foundation is?
Yeah, you're right. There are still a lot of people who haven't heard of the foundation, and to be honest, it is fairly new.
Yeah.
But the Alex C. Dove Foundation offers those struggling with a life-threatening illness a free place to rest and relax, and that place is located on Lake Camelot in Rome. And how it got started was Alex Dove had grade 4 glioblastoma brain cancer. And while he was going through his treatments, he had a place that he could go up north. It was his grandparents' place. And he could go there and rest and relax and just let all his worries go. And it was a time where he wasn't receiving treatments and getting poked and prodded, and he just wished that every person that was going through what he was going through could have that same thing. And so while he was still alive, because he passed away in 2019, while he was still alive, they started the Alex C. Dove Foundation, and were raising money to purchase a home. And Alex died in March of 2019, and in August of 2019, they were able to purchase a home, like I said earlier, on Lake Camelot in the town of Rome. And that home is a 3-bedroom, 3 full baths, one of which is wheelchair accessible, and it sleeps 8. And there's a great room, a large stone fireplace, huge windows. It's really a beautiful cabin, and it is right on the lake. And there's lots of toys there on the lake. There's a pontoon boat for those that are staying there. There's a 2 tandem kayaks, a single kayak, there's a paddle boat, there's paddle boards, there's a gas grill, there's just every necessity that you would need. We want everyone that comes to just be able to rest and relax. So towels and linens are there. The kitchen is fully equipped. It's just a time for people just to pack a bag and come rest and relax. And just make some memories with family. And some families that stay there prefer to have it just to be their family, their themselves that are staying there. And some wish to have extended family come and visit. And so it's really up to the family how they want to spend their week, because they can spend up to 6 nights, 7 days there. And it's really up to them. We don't tell them how to spend their week. They can spend it however they choose.
It's It's one of the unique things about this to me is the idea of the location. I should journalistically mention that when I first moved to this state, I moved to Rome. I lived in right in the Cove on Lake Camelot with my Nana Papa. Mm-hmm. And it's, as a city boy, it's still to this day some of the most beautiful stuff that I've ever seen and the most beautiful atmosphere I've ever seen. I love Lake Camelot. I love that area. So I have no journalistic integrity when it comes to this. I don't think a lot of us do when it comes to the Rome area. Mm-hmm. It's some of the most beautiful parts of our state. The location is beautiful because of that, certainly. But I'm also thinking about central Wisconsin and how we are basically about 2 hours away from most any city.
Right.
You know, at the most. Mm-hmm. So for these families, wherever they're reaching out to us from, to get to this location is not the biggest difficulty either. I see a lot of times with Make-A-Wish foundations and different things like that, that those are wonderful, wonderful groups of people and organizations. But oftentimes you're going cross-country or something, and right. sometimes the people that they're trying to help aren't always able to do that. The location of this is great on a number of levels. And I'm curious, Danita, do we know how many families are able to use the house over a year's time?
So we are open all throughout the year. So families can come any time throughout the year. And that's been a little bit of a struggle for us, I think, to get the information across that we're open all year round, because people tend to think summertime.
Yeah,
we're going to use the boat, we're going to use the kayaks, and they tend to think summertime. But there, what you just said, Rome is absolutely beautiful, and there's things to do all throughout the year.
Yeah.
And so whether it is winter, spring, summer, or fall, definitely we want people to be using the cabin. And right now, the majority of the use has been through that summer, fall seasons, but we definitely want to expand that. We're offering it all year round. And we haven't quite figured out, is it that people don't know about it? Because again, it started in 2019. And then as we all know, we had a pandemic that was dropped in there. And so really, it seemed like we started picking up steam in 2022, now 2023. I've been getting quite a few applications, and I just booked somebody for the fall from the Twin Cities.
Awesome.
And so she had asked me, how far away am I from the cabin? So I let her know that. And we are actually the first respite retreat of its kind in the Midwest. And so it is a special thing for our community to have this located here, and we have a lot of supporters in the area supporting us with their time, talent, and their treasure. And so we could not exist without the support of those within our immediate area and even from out of our area.
I think one of the most beautiful and strongest things that any of us will ever see in life is what a family can do with tragedy. And how you come through that. And it's interesting you brought up the pandemic and when this all started. So Alex's mom joined us like right around that time. Mm-hmm. And looking back, she was one of the last live guests we had in studio. It's just interesting to think about how far this, it doesn't seem that long ago. And we've come so far with this organization in a short amount of time. But there's still work to be done. And we always encourage people to volunteer, to invest if they are able to. There are ways on the website. You can go to alexcdovefoundation.org and find those out. If there are people out there listening, Danita, that are interested in this, that they have somebody in their family that could use this wonderful house, are there things that you should know before the application process, or just go right ahead, jump on there, and get that application in?
The only thing you need to know is anyone that has a life-threatening illness and has been receiving treatment within the last year would qualify to stay. And that's really all you need to know. Mm. It is from anyone from 0 to 100 or over 100,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah.
So it's really any age, but you can just go on our website. The application is there. You can download the application. And if that is a hardship for you, you can certainly just call me. And I've sent applications to people, too.
I'll just print
it off and send it out. And maybe the most difficult part, which I don't know that it should be too difficult, we do have a doctor sign that you do have the illness that you state. And so there is a doctor's form. Other than that, it's just a simple application with your information, who will be coming, and then there's a property agreement. And we want it to be as simple and stress-free as possible. Anybody with a life-threatening illness has got a lot of stressors in their life. So we've tried to streamline it and make it as easy as possible. And so when those applications come in the mail, I get those and try to call people immediately to confirm. On our website, there is a calendar which shows you the available dates. And so we ask for 3 options for dates just in case we get a couple
Smart.
In with the same dates. Most often, if you look at the calendar, I keep it up to date. And so most often you will get your first your first option. So I just call and confirm and talk to the family and tell them about the cabin and just tell them that I'll connect with them the week before they're coming to answer any questions. And I'm always available for questions even between the application time and the time they're coming.
Well, before we wrap up, make sure to give them contact information for you. And certainly, again, the website, which is amazing, by the way, everybody. It's such a nice website. AlexCDoveFoundation.org. Be sure to bookmark that webpage. And the application process, the calendar, all of that, very accessible. And just a really nice website. Its layout is really good. The Facebook page is also really good. And encourage you to like that page and check it out because we've got great stuff on there. Danita, I'm a little surprised that you're here considering what you got going on tomorrow. I imagine you are very busy with this concert going on tomorrow and everything.
Yeah, but we've been planning it for a while.
Yeah.
So I've got most of it done, and I've had some really great helpers with Visit Rome. Visit Rome and the Dove Foundation are really co-sponsoring that together. Mm-hmm. And they have been amazing. Jillian and Lisa have just been super helpful. And so we've tackled this together. It's the first time that we've had a concert event. It was Lisa's idea at Visit Rome. I'm like, yeah, sure, let's try it. And it looks like the weather is going to hold out for
us. Yes, yes. Thank you, Mother Nature. This is, as you mentioned, the first of its kind. It's the Alex C. Dove Memorial Concert. The first of many, here's hoping, because I love this idea and I love any chance to be able to talk about this great organization and foundation and bring some attention to it and some very, useful funds, hopefully, towards it. Because the funds from this event, the money raised, is going to go right back into the foundation. And help you guys continue to help more families and do more great work in this community.
Right. And I think it's last time when I was here and talked about the Dove Foundation, I walked away and thought, did I tell people it was free for guests to stay there? and I don't know if I did. Maybe I said it once, but I think it's worth saying more than once that everything is free for our guests that stay there. That was Alex's dream, and we are doing everything possible to make sure that his dream becomes a reality, and it is, that it continues. And so we are having a memorial concert featuring Art Stevenson and High Water, and it'll be held at the gazebo in Rome Town Center. We were hoping that it would be at the brand new band shell in Rome.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it's not. It's just not finished, not quite finished.
Maybe
so
next year.
So that's at 274 Geneva Trail in the town of Rome. And easy to find, especially if you're used to going to the farmer's market at all. That is same spot. The splash pad is there. Papa Bear's is there. So it's in that area. You can't miss it. And we just think it's a perfect location. We're going to have food available. We're going to have drinks. And, of course, the amazing entertainment of Art Stevenson and High Water.
Yeah, big shout out to them. Great musicians.
Yeah, yeah. So if nothing else, come out and enjoy their music. But it actually starts, we're starting at 5 o'clock. And the food will be starting at 5 o'clock. We have Up North Brewing Company, the area's first nano brewery, will be debuting a North American wheat beer that they have, and they are in the process of building a location in the town of Rome, in that Rome Town Center. So they're using this as their debut.
How cool is that?
I know.
That's awesome. That's so cool of them to do this. That's a really, that's going to bring some people alone, let alone some of this other stuff.
I know, because we are beer lovers in Wisconsin, I think.
That's going to go over well, I feel like. That's a great one. And really cool to hear that they're going to be building a shop there, too. That's great. That's good for the area.
Yeah, it already started. They broke ground, and I was told it'll be finished in the fall, but who knows, because things don't always go as planned, but it's in the works.
That's very cool to hear. You mentioned Art Stevenson and High Water. They're going to be playing from 6 to 8, it looks like?
They are going to be playing from 6 to 8. So before they play, you can, other than having beer, there will also be Paulette Anderson will be squeezing some lemons, so you can try her lemonade. Shorty's Barbecue will be on site, and they'll be serving pulled pork, brats, and hamburgers, and Rocky Rococo's will also be there serving what they do best, the pizza and breadsticks. So we also, if you have a sweet tooth, which I do, I book them first before anything else.
Awesome.
Del Prairie Kettle Corn will be there making fresh, warm kettle corn for everyone to enjoy. And so just love that sweet and salty.
The smell and the taste. it's a whole state. You smell it and then you taste it. It's such a good... we got all the favorites here. We've got barbecue, we've got lemonade, we've got pizza, everything, something for everybody.
Yep.
That's really nice. Yep. Great music again. Shout out to that. That is going to be fantastic. And if it wasn't for all of that, another thing we love in this area, raffles. And it got a couple of those for us as well.
Yeah. So what we decided to do was do a few larger raffles instead of what the fundraiser does in May is they do a lot of smaller baskets. And so just trying to make it a little bit different, we said, let's go for broke and do some bigger prizes. And so, like we talked about earlier, the community has really stepped up. And so what we've got as probably one of our best packages is the Lake Arrowhead Community Package, and that's valued at $2,500. And it's a 7-night house rental with a Lake Arrowhead Golf Package, which includes a cart, and then dining at Lake Arrowhead in their Greenside Grill. And so that alone is worth quite a bit of money, and we're really hoping people come out and buy raffle tickets for that. And not only that, we've had a lot of interest in the Camp Chef smoker grill that's been sitting in my garage for about a month.
That's so tempting. That's dangerous tempting. That's a lot of fun to just have that sitting
there. Yes, I've had people trying to buy raffle tickets already for that. And not only do you get you'd get a gift card to Rome Country Meats and Deli, and then there's a grilling basket that goes with that, and that's valued at $900.
Jeez, that's beautiful.
Yeah, so we had somebody donate that at the grill to us, and
that's cool.
And that was just amazing. They wanted to be a part of the Dove Foundation, and what a great way to do that. And then we did have somebody donate $500 cash. So that is a raffle prize. And who can't use $500?
Sounds good. Sounds good to me. Yeah.
I thought, oh, shoot, I probably can't buy raffle tickets to buy any of these. People think, oh, it's rigged.
That's the crux of these things, isn't it? We know what that's like here at the station. Whenever we're giving things away, it's like, oh, that looks really cool. We can't win it, though. There's also a winter getaway at Sand Valley that's going to be there.
There is. So winter getaway at Sand Valley, that's valued at $375. And you also get a $75 dining card to go with that. And I love eating at Sand Valley. So if you have not eaten at Sand Valley, that is something that you should put on your bucket list.
Oh, yeah.
Because going out, it's beautiful at Sand Valley. And weather, any time of year, any time of year, it's beautiful
the
at Sand Valley.
The view out there is just wonderful. Yeah.
And they do a lot of different things, fun things in the winter. So doing, being a part and being there for a winter getaway would be really fun for people. That's a fun raffle item. And then we did have three baskets that were donated that are worth at least $100. And one of them, of course, is a booze basket. And my husband brought that home. The United Steelworkers Local 59 donated that. And so that's sitting on my table. And it's a huge basket. It's a huge basket. So there's all kinds of goodies in there, a lot of things that I had never even known existed. So that would be a fun one to win too. And then Market Boutique in Rome, she has donated two baskets. One is a Rome basket and then another is a summer fun basket. And again, just showing how that local community and the extended community is just really supporting this event and supporting the Alex Stuff Foundation. So there's going to be music, there's going to be food, there's going to be raffle items. We'll also have t-shirts that we'll be selling. Becky and Brooke Dove will be there. So it'd be a great time to just meet Alex's family and talk with Becky and Brooke and get any more information that you want to know about the Dove Foundation. One of the family... The family that is staying at Dove's Nest now, they said they're going to come also.
Good.
So
cool.
So I'll have to ask them if they're okay with me giving them a shout out. And
even if they can't make it, we shout them out. We wish them a great time over there. Danita, I've done a lot of these, and I have very few times seen prizes in raffles like baskets like this. You really weren't kidding. They went all out on these. I mean, those are some amazing raffle prizes and everything. I know that this doesn't happen, as you touched on, without this community that we have. Do we have sponsors we want to thank? Anybody we want to shout out as?
Oh, my gosh. Do we
Do we have
ever.
Enough time? Do we?
So our exclusive sponsor was Rome Realty. If you've ever met Al, he has just got a huge heart for the Rome community. So he is our exclusive sponsor. And then, of course, we partnered with Visit Rome for this, and they have been absolutely amazing. Prevail Bank stepped forward, and they did a very nice donation to sponsor Connexus Cares also. Then we had Nakusa Port Edwards State Bank, Advantage Plumbing and Heating in Rome, the Arts Council of Southwood County, 424 Investments LLC, which is new to Rome, Wisconsin Rapid Sunrise Rotary, Knee Deep Shore Supplies. They've all come alongside us and are wanting this to be a success. And so we've also had Footprints in the Sand. Reynolds is the one who donated the home for 7 nights. Lake Arrowhead was a part of it. Jonathan Schutte, I mentioned. USW, United Steelworkers Local 59, Thrivent, Market Boutique, and Rome Country Meats and Deli, and Sand Valley. So that is a long list, but it really shows the support. I know I said that several times, but it really does show the support of the community. And so many people who have seen the cabin, whether they're on the lake and saw the cabin, or if they've driven by, or if they've stayed there, have all told us it's just beautiful. It is beautiful. And to have that available free of charge for families who are struggling with a life-threatening illness, it's, you know, we capture stories we've got a journal that guests can write in, and some of them are, one family wrote, "You've allowed us the best gift anyone could give, time together and memories made. Words cannot express the love you've given to our family." And many of the stories are very similar, and it's page after page of stories of how they got there, how they got to the cabin, and then what they felt when they were there. And my husband and I get to meet each and every one of these families and feel like we are so blessed to be able to be a part of this and to meet the families and to love on the families while they're there and just make sure that everything goes perfectly for them.
It really hits you. It really does. I should have done this as a second interview. It's very, in a good way, emotional, in a very positive way, especially when you run through that list of sponsors. I hear the sponsors. I hear what you're saying, but I see people. Yep. I see people in this area, see this community coming together like very few do, and supporting something like this. Just a big thank you to all of them, to the work that you're doing on this with your team, Danita. We appreciate that so much. And as always, a gigantic thank you to that family and the Dove family. We appreciate them so very much. Please say hi to them, by the way. It's been too long since I've seen them. Danita, I want to talk about the details as we're wrapping up real quick. Again, starting at 5 tomorrow over at the gazebo in beautiful Rome. You can go ahead and check out this event. Just kicks off. Art Stevens and High Water are going to kick off at 6. There's going to be food. There's going to be raffles. There is going to be you. You are going to be down there. Get on down there and have a great time. Danita, if people want to have, they have follow-up questions, want to know more about some of what we've discussed, how can they reach you?
Sure. You can always go to our website, alexcdovefoundation.org, and you can message us through there. You can message us through Facebook also. But a lot of people just call me directly, and my phone number is 715-570-2283. And I really enjoy talking to people, sharing information about the Alex C. Dove Foundation and the cabin, Dove's Nest. So if you want to connect with us, please do, and we would be more than happy to chat with you.
Always appreciate the time. Thank you, Danita. Good luck with the event.
Thank you.
We'll be back with more Midday Magazine coming up on WFHR.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in central Wisconsin. Today is Stuff the Desk at Lunch by the River. The event takes place at Veterans Memorial Park in downtown Wisconsin Rapids from 11:30 to 1. You can drop off school supplies or monetary donations at the United Way School Supply Drive while enjoying great food and excellent music. Bring cash, as some vendors don't accept credit cards. If you see an increase in aircraft flying overhead next week, don't be alarmed. Volk Field in Camp Douglas has a two-week exercise starting on August 7th. They'll have 1,000 people and 60 aircraft participating in the annual Northern Lighting Counterland training until August 18th. The Raptors need to keep winning to secure their spot in the playoffs. They are 14-11 in the second half. The Rats take on the Fond du Lac Dock Spiders at Witter Field tonight. First pitch at 6:05. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI, Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Slight chance for scattered storms tonight, otherwise partly cloudy skies. Lows level off around 62. Northerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies again tomorrow. Highs level off around 86. Cloudy skies tomorrow night. Lows level off around 60. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 90.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Midday Magazine for this August 3rd, 2023. 3:30 on your clock. I have your host, James, here, and we're joined by one of our favorite people to talk to, Janelle Weir, horticultural educator with UW-Madison Extension Wood County. Janelle, how are you?
I'm not doing bad at all. Yeah, it's dry. Really, really dry.
Yeah.
We've had some more rain very recently in the past couple of weeks. Before that, it was exceptionally dry. But, you know, you can check the drought monitor. In fact, this week's drought monitor drops today. It drops on Thursdays. And it just kind of gives us an update on where we're at. Last week on Thursday when I checked, we... still abnormally dry. I think we're moving out, if I remember right, in Wood County, we're moving out of moderate drought and into abnormally dry. Mm. That's still dry, though.
Yeah,
so, yeah, I've been doing okay, but had just lots of issues in the two counties that I serve and the county that I live in, Portage County. Just dry all around.
You're covering a lot of bases. And we're actually going to cover some of that with our conversation today. But you teed me up. I have to ask. Those out there wondering, should I be watering my lawn? Should I be doing more of that or less of that or anything? I know that there's a lot of concern with water conservation in the whole country. But at the same time, people are curious about that. I think that we've learned from the 50s that we don't just have to have the water sprinkler going all day on these lawns. But there's still kind of like a middle ground that I think that isn't really clear to people.
Yeah, so for lawns, I recommend letting your lawn go dormant over the summertime, but when you have long periods of time that it's very dry, that dormancy turns into death for the lawn, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, if anybody's concerned, I would have them reach out to me at the extension office because I can help you kind of figure out, you know, if it's been exceptionally dry, how much water do you need to water a lawn? It's kind of switching gears over to our trees, though. That's where my real concern is. I'm worried in about 2 years from now, 1-2 years, maybe 3 years out, because of the stress that the drought has given the trees, we're going to have secondary disease and insect pressures really coming in and causing some damage to our trees. So that's kind of, it's, you know, I'm kind of, you know, warning about something that's going to happen, you know, further in the future, you know, but in a couple of years, I'm going to be getting phone calls about, you know, insect pests in trees, and it'll be pests or diseases that'll, they wouldn't, if it was a healthy tree, they wouldn't have done any damage. They wouldn't have even been attracted to it. But since the tree was already stressed, secondary pressures are going to be coming in.
Something like that, there's not a lot of ways to counter something like that, I would imagine.
Yeah, right. It's about, you know, reducing that pressure right now, making sure that your trees are getting watered.
And a great note from you to reach out to you about this, because every lawn is going to be different, no different than fingerprints. Every, you know, that soil is going to be different compared to your neighbor, possibly. So how they may do their lawn may be different than how you do yours. Janelle can be more specific with you about that if you give her the details.
Exactly. Yeah. It always starts off with me. Okay, let's just chat. Let's talk a little bit about what's going on.
My father will be calling you. I know he is. I know. I guarantee he will be. Sowing success, that's where we want to start here. What is sowing success?
So sowing success is a 12-week course. It's an in-person course that folks will have an opportunity to learn. Really gives you a foundational understanding of horticulture. We are going to be going each week. We are going to be going and learning about quite a few different subjects, including things like general gardening practices, really that those cultural things that you do to grow strong plants. We'll get into integrated pest management. We'll talk about soils and how, you know, soil health, because really everything starts with the soil. I'll give you some real basic information about botany, you know, and this is where you're going to learn a lot about, you know, identification and things like that. Then we'll take that integrated pest management and apply it specifically to insects, plant diseases, how to deal with wildlife as a pest, weeds. And then we'll talk really into about annuals and perennials, flowers. We'll talk about woody plants, trees and shrubs. We'll dig into fruits, including small fruits like berries, grapes. We'll talk about growing trees, fruit trees, so your apples and your pears, vegetable gardening, and we'll finish up with a week all about lawns. So this class, you'll really walk away with a good understanding of, just like a basic, just like I always talk, you can spend a lifetime learning about all of this stuff, but this will give you some solid evidence-based, science-based information. And I'll also teach you how to find good resources for when problems do come up. This is a class that, if you're familiar with the Master Gardeners, you might know that the Master Gardeners have to take a horticultural training course. This counts as that horticultural training course. However, if let's say that you want this information, but you don't necessarily have time in your life, right now is not the right time to become a volunteer, no worries, you can still take this course. There's no expectation to become a volunteer. Although if becoming a master gardener has always been one of your dreams, this is an opportunity for you to be able to do that.
That's a really cool opportunity for people, because I have talked to listeners over the years that have been interested in being a master gardener or learning more about it. Here is a great kind of course where you can do that. And even if you end up not wanting to, you take away such great information from it.
Yeah. You know, the way that I've got the class set up is you will, each week, you will do some chapter reading. You will, from the book. Then you will watch a video lecture. Those are hosted on YouTube. So you do need to have access to the internet, although the library's got access to the internet as well. So you will need access to YouTube. Other than that, when we come into the classroom, it's not one of those lecture type classes. I'm not a sage on the stage in this environment. Instead, what we're going to be doing is hands-on activities. So if you remember back in, you know, science class when you did the labs and you were doing hands-on activities, that's what we're going to be doing when we meet in person. So we'll have those hands-on activities to reinforce the concepts that we went over earlier in the week. And then you'll get your... And you. The other thing I really love about this, too, is everybody's going to be coming in with their own background knowledge of what they've tried or what they know about gardening, right? So I'll have some folks that have some experience gardening, and I'll have some novices, too. In this environment, really, I do my best to encourage everyone has a chance to learn from each other. And it's last year, it was really a lot of fun. I did this course last year in Wisconsin Rapids, and it was a lot of fun watching the relationships blossom, watching the knowledge shared. You know, different people have tried different things, or, you know, just where they get their information.
The ability to share knowledge is one of the like the essences of humanity. Any opportunity to do that. Now, when you bring in people that have such a passion for a certain field, you're going to have even more select and I think very genuine, great information. And another great thing about this, too, is knowing your audience was just one of my favorite things. Janelle, you get the people that are going to be taking this class. Most people, if they're taking this class, they want to get their hands in the dirt. They like to get their hands in the dirt. And people learn better that way, or certain people learn better by physically doing things too. So it's really understanding the students, if you will, that would be taking these things that they want to do that kind of stuff. It's all well and good to sit back and listen and write down notes or anything. That stuff is helpful in a good essence of this. But you want to get your hands in the dirt. You want to do some stuff. And I think that's a very cool part of this.
Yeah. You know, I try to cover as many different bases. So you've got that opportunity to just sit back and kind of passively, if you want to take notes, but the video lectures, you know, you'll be getting a little bit of visual, but that's mostly audio. And then you've got that opportunity, because I'm one that I don't necessarily do well with audio and lectures, but if I read something, then I will remember that material. So I try to hit, you know, different learning styles, and hopefully everyone walks away with understanding some concepts a lot better. And then the biggest piece is just knowing where to go when you, where to find the information when you need it later on.
I love the idea of it. This isn't so much you preaching as it is giving people options, giving people opportunity to find different things, especially with a field like this, as we already touched on. Every lawn is going to be a little different, and the different things that you're looking for may be different as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
When is the event?
So this class, it runs, it's almost every Tuesday evening, and I'll circle back to that in a second. So Tuesday evenings at the McMillan Library, we're going to be starting September 2nd and finishing up on November 28th. And I'm kind of excited because that's my birthday,
nice,
so I'll get to spend my birthday with them.
Very cool.
Finishing up the class. The class runs from 5 p.m. until 7:30. So it'll be 2.5 hours. If we end up finishing up early, we'll get out early. But
cool.
Last year I ran it for only 2 hours, and I found that it just wasn't quite enough time.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So I said Tuesday evenings, except the second week of the class. The second week of the class will be meeting on Thursday of that week, so it'll be the 21st instead of the 18th.
Yeah.
Let's see. As far as where it's at, I just mentioned it's at the McMillan Library in Wisconsin Rapids.
How about registration?
Oh, sure. Yeah. So the cost of the course is $125. Mm-hmm. And that really just covers overhead and gives me a little bit of extra money to put back into my programming for next year.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to register, you can give us a call at the extension office. Our phone number is 715-421-8440. Or if you just punch into Google Sewing Success, and that's SOWING, Sewing Success, Wood County. It should be the first thing that pops up.
Yeah. Encourage people to, or I was going to ask too, with something like this, when it's a longer course or goes over a couple of weeks or what have you, sometimes people will be hesitant to do them if they can't make every class. Is this one of those ones you have to attend every single one, or you get a D? How does it work with this one?
I'm not handing out grades. This is adult learning. I'm hoping that if you're paid for the class. So my thought is, you're going to come to as many classes as you can attend. Now, the nice thing about this is the core content is in those chapter readings and in the video lectures. So if you can't make it to one of our sessions, that's okay. I won't have any makeup sessions. So you'll be missing out on those hands-on activities that are designed to reinforce the concepts. But as far as the main bread and butter, the meat and potatoes of the class, you'll have access to that stuff. So if you can't make one of the sessions, that's okay.
Sewing Success, Evidence-Based Gardening Essentials, coming up September 12th. Learn more about that and register. Throw it into your search engine, Sewing Success Wood County. We'll give you more details before we wrap up about registration. We're speaking about some upcoming programs with our friend Janelle Weir, horticultural educator with UW-Madison. And Janelle got this next one coming up, Growing and Caring for Plants in Wisconsin, Foundations in Gardening. It's a great title.
Yeah, so this is a really cool program. Let's say that you would not be, Tuesday evenings, it's just simply not going to work for you. If that's the case, for whatever reasons, we've got this other opportunity, and this is opened up to anybody across the state of Wisconsin. It's a completely online course. It's a self-paced course. So you can go through the materials at your own pace. Like I said, it's completely online.
That's
so
nice.
To participate in this class, you'd need to have access to the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Here, you're going to be learning the same information that you would have learned in my class. So still hitting those same subjects like, pest management and how to apply pest management for diseases and insects and weeds and all that type of stuff. Well, you'll be learning about fruits and vegetables and lawns and flowers and all of the same information.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that here it's completely online and then at a self-paced course. You won't have a educator with you, but if there is a human being out there that you can email and ask questions, but it's not like a Zoom type thing.
Right.
It's more of completely on your own.
Some people learn better that way or take in register information better that way. So it's a nice option for those types of people, or just, as you mentioned earlier, time sensitive maybe. You're just not able to take the other classes. That's a great option for people.
Yep. Yeah, so if anyone's interested in that, the time frame is about the same. It starts September 10th and runs through December 9th. The thing I like about that is that flexibility that's in there. And with this class, you're going to be able to have access to the course material all the way through August of 2024.
Ooh, wow.
Yes.
That's nice.
Yes. So the cost for this class, they are running early registration from now until August 14th. If you register in that time of period and during the early bird period, the cost of the class is $300. After August 14th, the cost rises up to $325. There are needs-based scholarships available, but you need to apply for those scholarships during the early bird registration. Otherwise, regular registration is going to run all the way through August 31st. If you're interested in registering for that class, you can Google Foundations in Gardening. It should be the first thing that pops up. Just look for a UW symbol.
Appreciate the scholarship option for people and even the accessibility of this, the freedom of being able to do it online and that. And it, the way that we can feel good from when we pay for these courses, knowing that that money goes right into UW and continuing doing the great work that they, our friends at Extension, do. Some of our favorite interviews, some of the favorite people to talk to are like yourself, Janelle, and our UW members. And we get to talk about these different topics every week with a different person who knows their stuff. There is nobody a part of that team over at UW who is not just a great brain and knows so much about that particular topic. So we know how much the audience appreciates that, and it's a great way for us to show that appreciation taking these classes and knowing that that funding goes right into that.
It 100% goes. I mean, I know exactly. Well, I shouldn't say I know exactly where it goes, but I do know that the funding for the profits from that class goes towards funding positions within the horticulture program. And those positions are about really just getting the word out, basically doing what I'm doing here.
Mm-hmm. And that's so vital to not just it, and we've talked about this before, but it bleeds into so many different things in our society and in our world. If you get a kid interested in Mother Nature, there's so many different things that that person could end up growing up to do, and who knows what impact they can make in that field. And that's just one example, one thing. We can keep going. We don't have enough time to keep going on that. There's a lot of great that could be done with that. I encourage you to do so. We had some webinars wanted to touch on as well.
Yeah, so these are cool. These are free webinars. If you're familiar with the term lunch and learn, that's kind of what these are modeled after. So each of these webinars are at noon, and they run about a half an hour. They're 100% free. So the topic for this series is Digging Deeper, which I really like that title. So they're going to be talking about growing garlic in Wisconsin, composting basics, and soil testing. So the first one, growing garlic in Wisconsin, that's going to be August 30th at noon. And my buddy Darren Kimbler, he's a former agriculture educator for UW-Madison Extension in Iron County, and he's also a garlic farmer. He's going to be talking all about how to grow garlic. And then my other buddy, Julie Hill, and September 6th, again at noon, she's going to be talking about from scraps to soil composting basics. She's actually my counterpart down in Rock, Jefferson, and Woolworth counties. And then Kristen Kurkowski, I really hope I didn't butcher her last name.
Oh, I think you got it. I'm nicely done.
Well, I live in Portage County.
That's so good.
Kristen is a commercial horticulture educator down in Waukesha County, and she's going to be talking all about soil testing, why, when, and how. And so, and soil testing is so important. You know, we think about water quality issues, and some of our water quality issues are due to homeowners adding inputs that aren't really necessary. So this is going to help you, you know when to fertilize, how to fertilize, and really why to fertilize.
I have not heard anything. All I was paying attention to is the growing garlic. I'm a big garlic fan, Janelle, so I apologize. No, I'm joking, but that is a great course right there. I don't think a lot of people realize the what it takes and that you can grow garlic in that. It's a nice idea for that. And fresh garlic, not very few things in the world like it. Like, there's really something about fresh garlic that is awesome. The composting webinar is just as interesting and fascinating to me, too. There has been a rise, even before the pandemic, but especially during the pandemic, of people getting into composting. One of the issues I find with that when I talk to people about it is, I want to do this, I just don't know that much about it. And even a search engine doesn't really tell you the things that maybe you might want to know, or it can't answer questions that you have. Something like this is a great opportunity with Julie to be able to ask questions, to be able to hear from a source and no real middleman in between.
Yeah, they shoot to try to have the actual presentation last about 20 minutes and then leave 10 minutes at the end for questions. Mm-hmm. And then you'll also be connected to, you know, different resources that you could look to get more information. If you, composting in particular, if you Google Wisconsin Master Composter, there's a PDF online at 70 pages, and it'll tell you really everything you ever wanted to know about composting. Julie's webinar is going to shorten that up to 20 minutes, but clearly there's more to learn if it's a topic that you're interested in.
Janelle, did you have any other news or notes that you wanted to touch on before we wrap up? We've got a couple minutes left. Otherwise, we can kind of go over some of the things we already have.
Yeah. So I just kind of wanted to talk a little bit about some of the questions that have come in during the past week. I haven't teased them out, Marathon versus Wood Counties, but, you know, basically what's happening in Marathon's happening here, too. Mm-hmm. So some of the questions that have been coming in, you know, we've had some very severe storms blowing through, which has been great to get some water, but we've had some questions coming in about tree damage. Mm-hmm. How to go about. So if you've got some tree damage, you can reach out to me and I can kind of either point you to how to find a certified arborist if the damage is very significant. If it's minor, I can give you some resources about pruning and straightening and guying and all that type of stuff. Other than that, though, lots of the dryness has presented itself in unique ways, and so I've had people call in with questions about, my lilies are not, the bulbs aren't opening, what's going on here? And it turns out to be probably due to the dry conditions. I had somebody call about some bronzing on their hydrangea, wondering if it was a disease. And here I was kind of leaning towards probably dryness. I think it's taking on it. It's fall color early. In fact, I've already noticed. And I think this is the earliest year I've ever seen it. And I want to say it was around July 21st was when I first noticed some maples starting to change their colors. Wow. That is due to drought stress. So they're like, okay, we're done. We're done. We've had enough. People were calling regarding lawn care. Lawn care questions are coming in fast and furious. Japanese beetle questions are starting to die down for a while there. The week before that, it was just kind of like drinking out of a fire hose with Japanese beetle questions. Now that's switched over to lawn care questions, which makes sense because fall is the most important time to really think about your lawns. And then slime mold questions. People seeing this really, really strange stuff out in the lawn, probably because we finally got some moisture fast and furious. And so people are wondering, what's that weird stuff? Other than that, as far as insect questions, we've had some fall webworm activity. And like I mentioned before, Japanese beetles. As far as weeds go, people are wondering, what's that bamboo looking stuff growing and how do I get rid of it? It's probably Japanese knotweed. If you've got something like that growing, or really any unidentified species that are plants, or maybe insects too, definitely reach out to me. My phone number is 715-421-8440. They'll get you connected to me. As far as diseases go, powdery mildew, really bad because it's humid and dry, and powdery mildew has a tendency to explode in those conditions, as well as anthracnose on a lot of trees. Those questions are kind of dying down, but they were really popular at the earlier part of the summer, about a month ago.
If people have follow-up questions, want to know more and reach you, Janelle, how can they do that?
A couple of different ways. So one way would be just to pick up the phone and call down to the extension office. That phone number is, one more time, 715-421-8440. Just say you'd like to leave a message for Janelle or the gardening lady. They'll figure it out. Otherwise, the easiest way to reach me is always through email, because I hop back and forth between a couple of different counties counties that I serve. My email address is my first name dot last name. That's janell.wehr@wisc.edu, like Wisconsin Education.
Yeah, love talking with you, Janelle. Thanks for hanging out with us. Looking forward to the next time already.
Me too.
We'll take a break right here. We'll be back with more Midday Magazine tomorrow right here at WFHR Locally Grown Radio.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, Locally Grown Radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Donald Trump makes history again as his second federal arraignment gets started this hour in Washington. CBS Evening News anchor Nora O'Donnell has more on this process.
An official tells CBS News that the former president will be processed by the U.S. Marshals at the federal courthouse before being taken into the courtroom. And then Trump's fingerprints will be collected by a digital scanner, but he will not have a mugshot taken today. The former president will then make his initial court appearance, where he is expected to plead not guilty.
Trump is facing charges of defrauding the U.S. government by interfering with the peaceful transition of power after the 2020 election. CBS's Robert Costa.
He believes he has evidence that shows Trump acknowledged privately that he lost the election. Now, the special counsel has evidence that Trump acknowledged this privately and then pursued a whole conspiracy, allegedly, based on the premise that he didn't lose the election. Then that's the basis.